You are listening to Fantha Tracks.
They love you. You know.
This is Princess Leia Organa. You're listening to Planet Leia.
Permission is granted to land on Planet Leia. Brought to you by Fantha Tracks. Here are your hosts, Claire Henry and Johanna Nibielios.
Hello, it's been a while again, but it's time for another episode of Planet Leia with me, Johanna Lindy Nibielios, and my co-host,
Claire Henry. It's been about 7-8 weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah. And the last time we talked about it, we've had some problem. We were talking about evil Star Wars women. We don't really like evil women. We like good guys.
We like to talk about pleasant things. We like to talk about happy Star Wars place, which I was definitely in over the Easter holidays. My New Year's resolution was to sort out my attic. It meant that I had to go through lots of stuff that I have kept, including my wedding dress, which I can tell you now I fit into, but also my Star Wars stuff. I have to say, over the 45 years or so that I have been a Star Wars fan, I have accumulated quite a lot of stuff. Not as much stuff as some of the people in Fantha Tracks. I'm not going to lie, they are definitely more than me, but definitely I have accumulated a lot of stuff.
I'm just curious, what was the oldest stuff that you found?
So the oldest thing that I had was from Star Wars. It was the figures that came out. I found Princess Leia, Kenobi, Han Solo, Chewbacca. I found a tin Millennium Falcon, which would be about the size of the palm of my hand, which I remember thinking was absolutely epic. Then I found a lot of Palitoy toys, which I had in boxes, and they would be late 70s, early 80s, and they're still in their boxes. So I found the troop transporter, which you never saw in the film, but it came out at that time, and the buttons and everything still working up, but I couldn't find batteries to see if it actually made the sound. Han Solo blaster that looks like a blaster. It looks like a gun. You know the way now that they're all orange and white so that they don't look like guns. This looked like a blaster. This looked like what it was like. Play-Doh. Do you remember Play-Doh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I found the Empire Strikes Back Play-Doh set with all the original molds still in it. It's all in its box, little cones of characters, and then you squeeze. Squeeze the Play-Doh up and the hair comes out. I'm showing Johanna, who's we're on Zoom calls, so she can see me doing this. I have a snow speeder, which I had put the two figures, the two X-Wing pilots in, still in its box. Millennium Falcon, which isn't in its box, but it has all its bits. But you know, the blaster thing, it's broken, but it's still in there. The giant Boba Fett and C-3PO. I found comics. I had a big box of comics, or half a box of comics and annuals. And I found the first and original Star Wars annual, the first one. It's a bit battered. I found the first comic, the British comics, not the American comics. And I have, oh God, I must have about 100 comics. Loads, loads of vintage stuff. I don't know whether this happened in Sweden or not, but if you collected the figures and cut the backs out, collected them all up and sent them off, you could get free Star Wars stuff. Did that happen to you?
Here, what you have to remember that I am a bit younger than you.
Oh, yes. You're a prequel, not OT. So in the OT, what you did was you cut the backs off and then you sent it off. And I remember my granddad taking me to a shop called The Rinka, which was in Isle Magee in Northern Ireland. They always had the Star Wars toys because everybody didn't go there. Everybody went into Belfast or Bangor to get them. And so anyway, we used to buy them all, save them all up. And I have the Wookiee bandolier. which then you press in your figures. So you walked around carrying your figures around your chest. And then I found my Darth Vader carry case. Again, you saved up and you put it in. And it was a Darth Vader head. You put your figures into the case. And then you got the sticker and you stuck them on. So it was like, it said like Princess Leia Bespin or Princess Leia Star Wars or Han Solo Hoth. So I have to say, I went down memory lane a lot. I have collected over however many years, lots of T-shirts. I will never be buying another Star Wars T-shirt again as long as I live. 5 bags of Star Wars T-shirts.
Do they go back to the 70s?
The oldest one that I have is from when I was a teenager. So that's about 40 years old.
It's probably a bit vintage.
It's a bit yellow. It'll never fit me now. But the oldest sort of modern one I have is when I was in Selfridges in London. Must be 30 years, Marcus and I did it. So it must be 30 years ago, and it's grey and it's got the old Star Wars logo on it. I remember seeing somebody wearing it and me asking them, oh, where did you get that? And they told me, and I was like, oh, right, I must get one of those. But then I have all the Celebration T-shirts that I've been, all the Her Universe things, T-shirts that I've bought. So I have whittled a lot of them out, T-shirts that I still wear. So I still wear the Empire Strikes Back one that's written in French. So I've whittled it down to 10 Star Wars T-shirts. I've kept my General Leia cape from Her Universe that I got, my Muster brand Darth Vader cape that I've got. I've obviously kept my Hoth Leia Columbia jacket.
Oh, yeah.
That's a beauty. And it's fabulous. It's really fabulous. And it's got a body warmer as well. So I've worn that too. Oh, and a couple of Star Wars hoodies. And I've kept my Star Wars pajamas that I bought in Celebration where they had light in the dark side. I have too much stuff.
I'm a bit curious as well. So you have gotten rid of a lot of stuff. How have you gotten rid of it?
Clothes-wise, they are going to the recycling. Unless anybody wants any, they have been worn to death. What I've done is over the years, is when they've got really old and worn looking, I've bagged them up and I've put them into the attic, but I couldn't bear to throw them away. So I've got about 3 medium-sized bags, I would say, of really worn T-shirts. Now, I'm meeting Mark Newbold and Paul and everybody on Monday, and I'm going to speak to them because I am looking about getting rid of my collection.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my favourite figures and I'm going to get a display case. I've seen a display case specifically for Star Wars figures and it's absolutely fabulous. It looks like the old figure case and you can display 20 or 30 or 50 or 100, whatever you want. And I'm going to keep my Millennium Falcon because I got that when I broke my arm when I was 9. But the rest of it, I wanted to go to Good Homes. If you're a Star Wars collector and vintage Star Wars collector, you can contact me. I'm open to any offer because I haven't a clue what it's worth.
That's quite interesting. I mean, I know we are huge Star Wars fans. We know that there are stuff that might be valuable, but we are not collectors. But I definitely feel it's not like you would probably take a stuff and just dump it somewhere because you know that there are people out there who might enjoy what you... This.
Absolutely not. That has been up there. I mean, that has travelled from my house in Northern Ireland to here because I couldn't bear to get rid of it. And I'm still reluctant to get rid of it. But I know that it's just sitting up there. And I know that there are people who would want it and have it displayed. All the spaceships, all the cruisers are in boxes, apart from the Millennium Falcon. And that's unheard of. Now, and I've got Palitoy, I've got Kenner, I've got... And it's all genuine. And it did take me down memory lane. I don't know what to do with the comics as well. So I need to speak to Brian about the comics and what do I need to do with that. And in a way, it's a bit sad that I'm doing that. But I'm keeping the things that mean the most to me. And really, the rest of it needs to go to good Star Wars homes. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
I'm in sort of this purging mood at the minute. I don't know what came over us, but it was our New Year's resolution was to clear the attic.
The thing is, it's so easy to buy Star Wars stuff because there is a lot of it and you like a lot of it. For me, it was I never got into that huge collecting phase. I mean, I do have stuff up on my attic, but not in that way. In a way, it felt really good when I decided that, no, I'm not going to buy everything because it has a Star Wars sticker on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the first time I was in the US, that was 2005 for Celebration 3. I mean, there is a photo of me and my girlfriend and her huge shopping cart filled with just everything we could find Star Wars, because, you know, we're coming from Sweden, we don't have almost anything. Egg warmers, you arrive and you go to Walmart and it's like Star Wars everywhere, and we just haul everything into that cart. And that was a great and fun trip, and I still have some of those figures up, but in the end it's like, no, I try to get the figures that I really like or the costumes that I have myself.
I think that's the thing for me, is like last Celebration, yes, you and I had a great time and we went and we had a good shopping afternoon, yeah. Do you remember? But we bought things that we would wear and use, like that bomber jacket. Do you remember the bomber jacket the pale pink one from, what was that, Heroes and Villains?
Yes.
I wear that all the time. And people don't realize it's a Star Wars jacket, which makes it even better for me.
I'm using my handbag that I bought, the hot mini backpack that I was that I didn't like backpacks, but I'm using it every day. Now it's actually, since it was white, it's getting a bit dirty. So now I'm like, I should maybe get another everyday handbag so that I don't get it even more dirty. But
yeah, my purse is the Loungefly. Remember when they did the sort of the roses around everything? That is the Darth Vader purse. And that is 8-9 years old now. And I still use it. It's falling apart, but it is so handy. And everybody looks at it when I get out and they say, oh, you're a Star Wars fan. No. That's why I'm saying the stuff up in the attic, I haven't looked at for a long time. I would like some of the figures and my Millennium Falcon on display, because that brings back lots of memories of my granddad, because it was him that, you know, spoiled me rotten really with Star Wars, which was great. That's the other thing. It's all played with and it's all been loved. It wasn't bought for a collector's thing. It is very obvious that it's, you know, it's been used.
They've been played with.
Exactly. I am actually looking at a photograph. I've just noticed I'm in my husband's office while we record this, and I've just looked at, he's got like a montage of photographs of us over the years. The t-shirt I was telling you about that I bought, I can see a photograph of myself in the montage standing beside a Han Solo frozen in carbonite. And that was the exhibition in the town hall in London. So that's how long ago that was. So that definitely is 20 years ago. I'll post a photograph of that up on our Instagram so that people can have a look at it. That's hilarious. Just us talking about it. And then.
Hey, it's Alyssa Wong, writer of Dr. Aphra, and you're listening to Fanthatrax.
So we would like to know, if you were to go through your Star Wars collection, what is your most prized possession? And which possession have you got that you wish that in hindsight you didn't buy?
I mean, for me, my most prized possession is the collector's edition of Dressing a Galaxy in the huge wooden case and with the fabric samples from a lot of the costumes. That's definitely my most prized collection.
Mine are my autographs, because every autograph is signed and I met the actors when they were signing them. So that's really a prized possession of mine, and they're all displayed all over the house. But I think that my most prized Star Wars possession probably is my Millennium Falcon and my Princess Leia, original Princess Leia that I bought, or my granda bought, should I say. Do you know what I do regret? But I love it while I'm there, and I love it. Collecting all the free stuff that you get at Celebration. And I've got bags and bags and oodles of it. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it.
Up in my attic, that's where I have a free bag that I got at Celebration, that every Celebration I just fill it up with more stuff. And you know, you do get some weird stuff. The sticker of the half-naked Kylo Ren. Yeah, I got it from someone, I have no idea from whom. And then I had it in my handbag, like, why do I walk around with a half-naked Kylo Ren? So that definitely goes there.
To be fair, I could think of worse things.
No, you do get a lot of free stuff and all these armbands and stuff like that. You wear them during celebration, and then they go into that bag.
Pin badges, that's another one. So probably, again, but that is no disrespect, because I know that the next celebration that I go to, I'll probably do exactly the same. Yeah. It's a bit of an odd segue, isn't it, this time? Because actually, yeah. I've just talked about how I'm getting rid of stuff. But then, lo and behold, her universe just drags us back in again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And there I was, all pleased with myself, thinking to myself, yes, I'm all cleared out. I'm not buying anything. And then her universe goes and does what, Johanna?
They just released Phantom Menace 25th Anniversary Collection, and there are some nice pieces there. The only thing is, though, of course, that they don't sell in Europe, so you have to calculate a lot of shipping for you if you want to get it from the US. That's what keeping me, because personally, the handmade and dress with a hoodie, it's a flame gown, it's nice, and with a nice Naboo patch. If I was in the US, I would definitely get it straight away. That would be a fun thing. I'm not sure when I would actually wear it, but probably at conventions or so. But I really loved the swing skirt that they had in Burgundy.
The logo or the...
Yeah, it's the pattern from Amidala's red dress. Yeah. And it just goes down the front, and like, that would be so nice, because that I would be able to wear.
Well, you could wear that at work. Yeah. We could get away with wearing that at work and nobody would know. And I think that's where I'm thinking to myself now, with things that I buy now, I'm going to be more circumspect with what I buy. Can I wear this from work? Can I wear this out? If I can, yes. Is this going to be useful in my house? Do I need it? Yes. For example, the salt and pepper grinders in her universe. Will I use these in my house? Absolutely 100%. I am definitely not going down the route of keeping anything. If I buy it or I get it, I've got to use it. Why? Because they're in the shape of Anakin Skywalker's lightsabers. How cool is that?
That's really cool. That's cool.
Yeah. That would be my one. I think that the artwork on the bomber jacket is lovely.
But I would never wear that.
That's too obvious for me.
Yeah, it's an easy pass, even if it looks really great. Also, they have this Bespin duster, which is basically a vest with a Bespin layer. And I would never wear it. That's also an easy pass, even if it looks gorgeous.
What did you think of the Darth Maul handbag?
Oh, if I like bad guys, I would go, because that one looks really good. I like the good guys, so no, I would not buy it, but it looks really good.
The Ahsoka Tano sort of leisure wear gym kit looks all right, but some of it, first of all, if you listen to this show, you know I am not necessarily the Phantom Menace's biggest fan, but over the years has grown on me. But probably, and I know it's gimmicky, but I would go for the salt and pepper grinder.
It will have a limited release, at least. And I have seen here in Sweden, it will be on some selected cinemas on the 3rd and 4th of May.
Yes, it is. It's on in the UK and it's on in my local cinema. But stupidly, and I never thought about it really, I'm going away. And I'm not going away with anybody who's a Star Wars fan.
No.
So they won't want to go to the local cinema in York, which is where I'm going. They'll not want to go and see it. And I'm gutted, because I would love to see it in the big screen again.
Yeah, I saw it when it was released in 3D. So I have seen it that time.
First time I saw it, it was a press screening of it. I was still at home in Northern Ireland and I was going over to visit Marcus, who lived in England at the time. Mm-hmm. And my friend, whose husband worked for Haagen-Dazs and Kentucky Fried Chicken, got tickets for the press screening because they ran the franchise in Northern Ireland. So they got invited over for it. He said, right, I'll send you the tickets. But post was so bad in those days. It isn't like it is now in England where, you know, you can post it and it'll be there near enough the next day. I had to take off and head to London, going to this thing without the tickets. Alan, he was on the phone explaining to the security man that he'd sent them to me, that he was the Haagen-Dazs, and if they looked on the guest list, etc., that I was the representative for Haagen-Dazs and Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they let us in. And so we saw it in the big, what I think is now Cineworld in Leicester Square. And I saw it with the press. So it was quiet and it was subdued. So it wasn't like watching it with Star Wars fans.
we're actually invited to have a wedding on May 4th. The groom
is it
has
a Star Wars wedding?
No, it's not. But one of the grooms have given me permission, the one we know, that if I have something Star Wars, I can wear it. But I'm hoping, since it's also on May 3rd, they're also showing it on some cinemas, so I have to go to one of the cinemas that I don't like in Stockholm. But I'm thinking about maybe doing it anyway. It is always cool to see Star Wars on the big screen.
Yeah. You can't beat it, no matter what. I know that a lot of Star Wars has now moved on to the small screen, but really, you can't beat Star Wars on the big screen. Yeah. I agree with you.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
What else is happening in May? And that is the ticket releases for Celebration.
Celebration Japan.
I'm sorry to say, I'm not going, and neither are you.
I realized that when it was announced in London that the next one would be in Japan, it's like, oh, sorry, that's me. I need to eat. The thing is, I always dreamt of going to Japan, but that means that once I go, I don't want to be just on a convention. I want to have the possibility to go all over Japan, travel, see the things that I want to see. And no, I won't be able to afford it.
I've been to Japan already. Absolutely fabulous place. And I would have gone because I have the air miles saved up for it and everything. But it's my daughter is sitting her end of school exams and she really wants to go too. And so I don't feel I can go and leave her behind studying. So I have to parent. This is one time where I think the child supersedes Star Wars. Doesn't happen often, but this time it is happening. But I know that when it's being held, which is Easter, is spring blossom time, which is beautiful. I know that there's like Disneyland. There is so much to do. And you're right, you want to go and you want to stay in the Raikou-san, you want to go and do the temples and all that, and it is expensive.
And that's also a difference for me now. I'm a married woman. I just can't save up money for myself. We have to be able to afford going, the two of us.
Then, Johanna, in about 10 years' time, you'll do what I did to Chicago and I'll just go on my own. You just can't do it yet. You're too loved up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the price point and how they're doing it this time. And this is another thing that I feel is a bit of a snub.
Yeah, and it's the fact that if you had VIP tickets in London, you will be able to snatch them before everyone else because they are releasing the tickets on the May 1st for the VIP holders from London and for the general public on May 2nd.
I do wonder, are they going to hold a limited batch back of VIP tickets so that they are available on general sale on the 2nd?
I'm thinking there will be some because not all the VIP holders from London will be able. Now, you do think that, oh, if you've had a VIP ticket, then you don't care about money. But I mean, I know that there are VIP holders who are like, we save for going this once and we wanted to go. But for most people, if also say that if you have had VIP tickets, you want to do it again.
It says here, only VIP ticket purchases from Star Wars Celebration 2023 have access to this exclusive pre-sale. So I would like to think that it is a limited amount of tickets available. I don't think it's fair that they should all get them because you're right, there will probably be less people and there should be some tickets over. But I don't think there'll be many. The ticket point has gone up. It's $58.85 for a day ticket, $168 or $169 for a three-day adult.
It's just a three-day event like it used to be in Europe.
It was a four-day event, wasn't it? It was the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday and the Monday.
In 2016 and the previous, you had just 3 days. And now in Europe, they went up to the full 4 day, and in Japan they go for the 3 day again.
3 day, but it's still the same price.
Yeah.
And then the Jedi Master $993.25.
Yeah.
This gets you only 15 minutes a day early entry into the exhibit hall. Thursday night official celebration store. Well, okay, that is pretty worth it. But not for us anymore, Johanna, because we're only buying essential Star Wars stuff.
Yes.
Guaranteed admission to all the panels. That is fair enough. But you have to arrive 30 minutes before, which I think is what it was before. Yeah. Designated VIP line for autographs and photo ops, which is great. Means you don't have to queue. VIP line.
But my experience is that the ones who have VIP, they are not that interested in autographs. We would love to hear if you don't agree with this, but it's like, no, they're not really into autographs. They are in it to be able to get access to all the major panels.
I have tried for VIP every year since I've started to go, and it existed, and I've never been successful.
I have a friend who managed to, I think he got into that he could get the tickets, but before he had ended the process, they were out.
They get a complimentary coat check and charging stations, pre-show and on-site concierge. I don't really know what that means or what that will do for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get a holo badge, a special enamel badge, a show lanyard, and a water bottle, all exclusive to Celebration. Here's the deal, clincher. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
You get Star Wars Celebration branded chopsticks, what everybody has always wanted. And that's the only reason why I would ever want to do that, is to get the Star Wars branded chopsticks. The artwork, absolutely fabulous, I think. And interestingly, Reed Popper doing it all again, which everybody says wasn't going to happen last year, was Reed Pop's last one. Well, that was wrong, wasn't it?
I guess that's the thing. Reed Pop has done it now so many times. We complain that they do fess up. And they don't do it well.
To be fair, I think the last couple have run rather smoothly. You get what you expect from it. But the artwork is stunning, isn't it? Traditional Japanese art, you know, that swishy styling of the graphics. It's called, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, so forgive me if you're Japanese, Sumi-e. Sumi-e. S-U-M-I-E. It's Darth Vader, and he's got cherry blossoms and X-Wings and TIE Fighters and AT-ATs in it, and the rising sun behind Mount Fuji behind it. And it is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And I'm so looking forward to what they will do with the merch. I mean, there will be so many I can just see the beautiful t-shirts.
I mean, there'll be definitely the old cultural misappropriation stuff, like they did in London with the teapots and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And obviously there is, because they've got the Star Wars Celebration chopsticks. I would like to hope, and here's me saying I don't want a t-shirt again, and then I'm saying that the t-shirts will be lovely, but I think they will be lovely.
They will be.
And I think that that would encourage me to buy something like that. But it is absolutely stunning.
I think it's much more stunning artwork than last time in London.
Well, last time in London, we had already seen it before. It was used by an artist before. Yeah. I don't know who it was, but everybody said that. Now, apparently this is the same as for this year, but it to me screams Japan, and it screams different, and it screams stylish. You'd like to hope that it'll be focused on the Phantom Menace. What are they going to do in Japan?
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do that makes it worthwhile for people to travel that far away? That's what I'm interested to see.
Yeah.
Will her universe make a journey over to it?
I doubt it. But of course, also what you will have, Japan has already a lot of things that are different.
Hey, this is Lauren Mary Kim, and you're listening to Fantha Tracks.
So we've started with the old. We've gone on to things that we really want to do, but we unfortunately can't, as in the celebration. And we're moving on to something completely new, and something that I don't really know that much about, and that is the Acolyte. For those who don't know, which I would say is not very many if you are a Star Wars fan, is The Acolyte is a TV series that is due to be released 4th of June and is a Padawan reunites with her Jedi Master to investigate a series of crimes, but discovers the forces they confront are more sinister than they are ever anticipated.
We saw and heard some of it already at Celebration Europe last year when they were talking about it. It's interesting that they are going into an era. I mean, this is really, you have the High Republic. This is like the heyday of the Jedi. And now something is going on, killing Jedi. It will be fascinating. Now, the High Republic is something like 10 years ago, as soon as it was released, I would have bought everything because that's really a fascinating era. Now it's like, yes, someday I will get through to actually seeing it. But the Acolyte is in that same era. It's in there. And it's like the Jedi are this light of the universe. They know what they do. It will be fascinating to see.
Is there any hint of the High Republic in any of the books that you read?
Not really, no, I wouldn't say. I mean,
there's no like nod to anything like Thrawn has been nodded to. And
I haven't read The High Republic and it's like on my to-do list because I love the setting. I've done other things, so I haven't sat down to actually read them.
But you know what I mean? You know the books that you read when we had that sort of like that dark era of Star Wars where there was nothing? There's nothing mentioned about anything in there, is there?
Nothing that has been picked up, not that I can see. No, I mean, you do have, once again, you're talking back to what it was like. I would say that in that dark era, you had maybe even you went even further back in time when you had the Nomi Sunrider and her story, but that was really like more the birth of the Jedi and how it all started.
This is set 100 years before the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, which is closer time-wise than I thought it would be. I thought it would be further back in time.
And because of that, it means that our Wookiee is in there, played by, and you can say his name?
Jonas Tuottamo.
Which is interesting.
Which is, you know that Swedish and Finnish are not even related in any way.
Language, it sounds better coming from you than me. Yes.
You grow up listening and trying to pronounce Finnish names.
Well, he's not actually playing Chewbacca. He's playing Kaln Akka.
Yeah.
So do we think that's Chewbacca's mum and dad?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, and Wookiees get quite old, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see some kind of hint with the Chewie family, but no.
I was kind of hoping it might be. You never know. Yeah. But the other big rumour that seems to have been quashed, and I'm pretty gutted about, is the Keanu Reeves one. That has interested me. There was this rumour that Keanu Reeves was meant to be in it.
Yeah.
But this has not been confirmed. And so I was sitting like looking through, you know, all the things to say, is Keanu Reeves in it? Is he not? And it says, Keanu Reeves is still not officially attached to the production. Mm. So for now, Keanu Reeves is not in The Acolyte. Although it is possible that the Hollywood icon did indeed shoot a cameo that Lucasfilm Limits is keeping under wraps. Well, that would be epic, in my opinion.
Yes, that would be
always a bit like Jude Law being in Star Wars. Epic, epic, epic. Keanu Reeves in The Matrix and A Point Break for me are two iconic things. I feel like, and I said this about The Clone Wars as well, I maybe should have read the books.
In a way, it's also quite fun to go into it fairly spoiler-free. I'm not really sure what I'm going to expect. I have seen the trailer, but going in without really knowing anything will also be quite fun.
Well, it's going to be like when we all went into Rogue One.
Yeah.
They were completely different new characters and became a much loved film by so many, so much so that we've had the Cassian spin-off. I'm looking forward to some new Star Wars with some new slants on it. And I'm hoping that it gives us the story that we want it to be.
The only sad thing is that Disney aren't releasing the whole series at once because we have a long weekend that weekend in Sweden. So it would have been nice to just set them.
Oh, yeah. No, they're definitely going down the old cinematic route, aren't they, of the Saturday mornings, which I can understand.
We'll release two episodes on the 4th. That seemed to be like the mode of operation for this. And now they do a premiere with two episodes.
I am quite sure that there will be lots of merch. I know that there's figures are being released at the minute, big boy toys. They're causing some consternation amongst the people I know about it. Anything to have a next generation of Star Wars fans can't be a bad thing.
No, no. And I am looking forward to the fan reactions as well now when we are in an era that's new. We will probably have some cameos. I'm guessing Yoda will show up somehow. We'll see some, but in a way, we as fans can go into that and don't really have any preconceived notions of who's good, who's bad, what's going to happen here. And it will be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, they say that Yoda is a figure in the High Republic, but nothing has been confirmed whether he will be in it or not. But I would assume that if he's been in the books, he can't not be in the show.
And in the trailers, you have these scenes with the Padawans getting trained. Yoda must be there somehow.
There's where the rumors are. Darth Revan is going to make an appearance. That's who they think Keanu Reeves is going to be.
But Darth Revan should be several thousand years before. Maybe they find a holocron.
The possibilities are endless, aren't they?
Yeah.
The other rumour is that Gal Gadot would be in it too, but I have not heard anything. But I do know that this month's Empire magazine has got a preview of what we do know and who we know is in it. And again, the images look fantastic.
Yeah.
There's not many actors or actresses I know at on it. Only
Neo Quinto.
What's he in?
Well, he's in The Good Place. That's where I saw him.
What's that?
It's a great series about if you die, what happens? Do you get in heaven or do you get into the good place or not?
Oh, and it's, okay. No, I've never heard of that.
No, I really recommend it. And it's so good. It's really all about philosophy in a very interesting way. It's a lot of philosophy, but it's such a fun series. So I definitely recommend it.
Carrie Ann Moss, who was in The Matrix, has been confirmed in The Acolyte. Yeah. So maybe that's where the old
That's
Keanu
also probably
Reeves,
where they think Keanu Reeves will be in
it
as well.
I think that then maybe is people's mega wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Hi, this is Julie Dolan, the voice of Princess Leia, and you're listening to Fanthatrax. It's your only hope.
The other thing that's hit the news as well is Daisy Ridley talking about her new Star Wars project. I'm going to say I'm excited for that too.
Yeah.
Will Finn be trained to be a Jedi? That could be quite funny because that would change the dynamics.
In a way, I feel like everything that has to do with films and Star Wars now, until there is a trailer and an official release date, I'm not going to make any high hopes that we will actually see any films and not just TV series.
But what I know that I think we can guarantee in The Acolyte is lightsabers.
Lots of lightsabers.
Lots of lightsabers, which I have no problem with at all. Here I am saying I'm trying to get rid of stuff, but I have six. I have the three Skywalker ones, the Anakin / Luke one, only the light side. I have the green Luke Skywalker one, and I have the Leia one, and they're all down one side of my wall going up the stairs. And then on the other side of the wall is the Henry Skywalker lightsaber collection, which we made in Galaxy's Edge, Florida. Lots of lightsabers, which I love.
And I hope to see more variations of Jedi costumes as well.
Yes, I'd like to see more colours in lightsabers. Yeah. And that is so shallow. And I know it's shallow. And I always say this to people. I couldn't necessarily tell you all the things and the ins and outs of all this sort of stuff. But what I can tell you is what I like about Star Wars. And what one of the things I like about Star Wars is lightsabers. And I was never so happy that you could get proper lightsabers.
Yeah.
And I bought one immediately, the blue one, immediately it came out. And it's like about 15 years old, but it's on display now. So I am looking forward to lots of lightsabers. What we will do is we will ask for your thoughts. We'll put them up on our socials. What would you like us to talk about, The Phantom Menace?
Yeah, and I also would like to hear, what did you do in May 1999? Were you there for the premiere, or did you go to watch it, or maybe you weren't even born yet? But if you were there in May 1999, what did you do?
Did you do the fanboys thing and go and watch it and then turn around to your friend and go, what if it's terrible? We want to know everything.
Did you queue up for a month just to get your tickets?
I think there were people did that. So, yeah, we want to know all your Phantom Menace things and what did you do. For now, we're going to sign ourselves out. We will speak to you next time. So thank you for listening to Planet Leia. And if you want to be part of our action and stay up to date on all the latest Star Wars news, visit fanthatracks.com and be sure to comment, like and share on any of our social media feeds at Fanthatracks. You can reach out to us and send in your listener questions by emailing radio@fanthatracks.com, or you can direct message us on any of our socials. Please subscribe and leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Semple for composing the Fanthatracks intro and our Planet Leia opening music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Remember to tune in to Making Tracks every Tuesday at 7 p.m. UK time. We are hoping that Good Morning Tatooine will be back really soon, and you can catch that on YouTube and Twitch. And on a Friday night, we have a Star Wars Fanthatracks radio rotation, including our fine selves, Planet Leia, Fantha from Down Under, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and of course, every so often, a special episode of Making Tracks. So thank you very much for listening to Johanna and I talking Star Wars again. It's always good to do that, isn't it, Johanna?
Oh, yes, it's always fun.
So thank you very much for listening. And as we always do, we close off our show with saying, we love you.
You know.
Coming up next on Fanthatracks Radio, it's Making Tracks.